you like after the summer holidays? I was keen to look at serving well. So how can we give of our time to serve the church and allow it to function in the way that it needs to? I wanted to look at welcoming well. How do we welcome those who are new among us? It's great to have some new people here this morning. You are welcome here. And I thought it was going to stop then, but it didn't. In fact, what I noticed, and I guess this is God, I had specifically for a number of the Sundays outside of visiting speakers, as we got next week, I just left it as to be decided by the preacher. Well, that's given me an opportunity to continue this sense of doing things well. We've looked at serving well, welcoming well. A few weeks ago, we looked at worshiping well. How do we together, corporately, worship God well? And then, bless him, Peter Hayes came last week because I was away, and he was willing to take on praying well. And he spoke about the importance of praying well. And at the end of his sermon, he did say, next week, Darren's going to look at loving well. Actually, I'm not. Actually, Nick Hallinick's going to look at that in a few weeks' time. And this week is the one that if you knew what it was, you'd have been really looking forward to. You would have been saying, I must get there on the 15th of October, because this morning we're going to look at giving well. Now, obviously, we can give in a number of different ways. We can give well in a number of different ways. We can give of our gifts, of our time, of our energy. And all of that is important. In fact, that was the thrust of what I was trying to get at in that first Sunday in September when we looked at it serving well. But we do also need to give well financially. It's important that giving well financially isn't seen as an obligation, but actually as an opportunity to assist God in what he's doing through a local church, in this case, a local church in Worcester Baptist Church. And this is deliberately a topic I don't preach on a great deal, but it's an important part of discipleship. It's an important part of being a disciple of Jesus. It's an important part of belonging to a church as we are here. So it's right that we do look at how to give well from time to time. Giving well is important. And it's particularly important for Baptist churches. And that's why I'm keen that we look at those booklets and read those booklets that we've got copies of in the foyer. Because Baptist churches are entirely self-funded, and it might be the people who come from different denominations don't quite realize that. We get no central funding from some central source like a C of E church would get. What you and I give to this church is what the church then has to do the work of the church. Without your giving, there would be no church here. So I never make an apology for preaching on the topic of giving. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he knew of the importance of giving well because he knew that it was an important part of our discipleship. He got that our attitude to giving is also important. So for me, this passage in this letter to the church at Corinth, it is always so helpful on this topic. I was going back last week, looking at all the times I have preached on giving. And actually, this passage is probably the one that I use the most. One of the things it does highlight, I believe, is that there are some good reasons for us personally to be giving financially to a church. For a start, and for me, maybe this is the most important reason, it's because God has given us everything in the first place. When we give to God, we are simply giving back to him what he's given to us. And we are simply expressing our love back to him for what he has given us. I love what Paul says, if you picked it up in verses 7 to 8. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Paul wanted the church in Corinth to be leaders in giving. He didn't order them to give, far from it. I'm not commanding you, he says. But he wants to encourage them to prove their love for God by giving, to prove that their love for God is sincere. In fact, he says, you might have picked up there, that he's going to test their love for God through what they give. You know, we give to God, we give to his church in order to express our love back to him. Something that we were singing about earlier. For all that, our love back to him, for all that we have received in the first place. And it certainly also reveals the authenticity of our love and our obedience to God. Many of you will know this, these words from Jesus also in Matthew 6. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we do with our money, what we do with the stuff, the resources, including money that God has given us, reveals our hearts. But you know what? It does more than that. It shapes our hearts too. The discipline of giving draws us closer to Jesus, and we get to experience that exciting feeling of cooperating with God in his mission, because it helps his kingdom to grow. I was encouraged to, in Joe's answers to the questions I was asking earlier, mentioned about kingdom growth. And many of you will know that's my heart. I'm not into church growth. Yeah, it's great if this church grows, but what's important is kingdom growth. We need to think bigger than church. And as we give to a church, we are helping in that kingdom growth, the wider kingdom. And the fundamental fact is that when we give financially to a church, what we provide is the stuff that's needed to make that church work. We pay for in this case, the minister, the youth worker, the administrator, the cleaner. It helps to fund events. It helps to heat the church. And we're all glad this morning that's the case. It helps to support missionaries, to keep the church running and functioning so it can do the things, be going about the mission that God has called it to. Our giving provides a place to meet and to worship. And we're able also, as we do, I think, really well here at this church, we're able to help those that are in need, both locally and, of course, further afield, especially for us, folks that we support in Uganda. Many things that we can do to expand the Church of Christ, to grow his kingdom by giving to God's church. And elsewhere in Corinthians, in fact, the next chapter, in chapter 9, it'd be good to continue to read that the rest of this day. Read chapter 9 as well, because what Paul does, he points out that when we follow Jesus, he will make us rich. He will make us rich in every way so that we can be generous in our giving to others. And that results, he says, in thanksgiving to God. God promises to make us rich spiritually, which, let's face it, is the most important riches that we could possibly have, being made rich spiritually. But he also promises, as Pete said early on in the service, he promises to provide for us. He won't let us go without. He provides for our material needs, enough to live on, but also enough to give to others, to give to the increasing of God's kingdom here on earth. So giving well financially to God and to church is simply part of being a disciple of Jesus. Giving well financially to God and his church is simply a way of us expressing our love for him. But, you know, whenever I speak on this topic, I do have to deal with the question that often arises, How much should we give to the church? Now, Jesus once said that anyone who doesn't give up everything they have can't be his disciples. So maybe the answer is we should all give 100% of what we got. But of course, the truth is God graciously lets us keep and use and enjoy some of the material resource that he entrusts into our care. But there are some, I think, helpful biblical principles about giving. Firstly, of course, is to acknowledge, as I said, that God actually owns everything we have. He's loaned it out to us so that we can bring him glory and expand his kingdom. And also remember that it's him that's given us the abilities that we have to make a living. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 to 18, we read, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." And also, another biblical principle that might be helpful, I'll just put it out there, is God expects us to give to him first before anything else. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, we read, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." What they're saying there is essentially what we should be doing is the first thing we should do is we should take out of what we get to give to God and then live on whatever we have left. Another helpful thing, which I think this is pretty key to this topic of giving, is the spirit in which we give. Because we're told in 2 Corinthians 9, so the next chapter again, that's why I think it's good to read it, that God expects us to give cheerfully. It doesn't have to be with a dance, certainly with a smile. We read this in verses 6 to 7. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man or woman should give what he or she has decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Do you know what? There's almost no point in giving if you're going to do it grudgingly and grumbling as you do so. God wants his givers to want to give and to be cheerful about it when they do. Attitude in giving is important. Here's another verse for you. This time, 1 Corinthians. Paul's got a lot to say to the church in Corinth about giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 2, he says, Now, he says, about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections have to be made. Now, obviously, this was in the days before standing orders through churches. But also notice, Paul doesn't say how much they should give, but that each person should give in keeping with their income. So to answer the question of how much should we give to the church, there is no right answer. Your decision about your level of giving will be one which makes sense to you and also truly reflects your gratefulness, your own gratefulness to God for the gifts that he's given to you in the first place. Because the one thing I should just mention is people often say, well, what about this tithe that's mentioned? So the word tithe comes from the Old Testament. And it literally means tenth. And here's an example of it being used, Leviticus 27, verse 30. "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." So some folks say, well, I'm going to give 10%. Do you know what? That's between you and God. A few years ago, in fact, 2019, a few of us were on a church weekend away, led by a lady called Sian Murray Williams. She was my pastoral tutor when I was at college. Her husband, Stuart Murray Williams, is big on the scene of pioneering missionaries. And he's written a book called Beyond Tithing. He basically says, you know what? Forget all that. You might want to give a lot more than 10%. He says it's more about the heart. It's about our relationship with God, and we're us allowing God to determine how much we're going to give. But we do so in that sense that we know and God knows what is needed for His mission to take place. And in our case here in Worcester Baptist, ultimately, what you give is between you and God. What's important, though, is you give with the right heart. You give cheerfully. I mean, I'm always thankful, and I certainly praise God for all of you who already give to this church. But it is good, and it's right, and it's proper that as a minister, I should, from time to time, just challenge us all about our giving to the church. I mentioned standing orders. You know, we tend not to have, well, we tend not, we don't have a collection during the service. If you're a visitor here, you might notice that. We do have a box at the back of church if you want to place offerings in there. That's absolutely fine. One of the reasons we don't is most people give by standing orders. But I know what it's like. I've set up standing orders in the past, and years later I realized I never went back to them to look and check and see if I want to adjust my giving. It might be something you want to do. If you've never set up a standing order but you want to, well, speak to me, or perhaps more particularly speak to our treasurer Hannah here in the front row. She'll help you with that. Gift aid, it's free money to the church. If we're able to claim gift aid on your giving, let's do that. Free money to the church. If any questions on giving at all, then do speak to Hannah. So there'll be a big queue. There'll be a big queue, Hannah, I'm sure. There's lots of things in church life that it's important that we do well. One of those is our financial giving to the church, especially a Baptist church, which is self-funded. It's part of what we should do as a follower of Jesus. It's part of our discipleship. And put quite simply, it's needed if a church is going to survive and flourish and develop relationships with those in the local community and push forward into God's mission for it. So, giving well. Over to you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all that we do have.